Que se quiebra sobre la tiniebla de mi soledad. ¿A dónde vas? Dime si esta noche tú te vas de ronda como ya se fue. ¿Con quién estás? Dile que la quiero, dile que me muero de tanto esperar. Que vuelva ya, que las rondas no son buenas, que hacen daño, que dan penas. Que se acaba por llorar.
Luna que se quiebra sobre la tiniebla de mi soledad.
¿A dónde vas?
Dime si esta noche tú te vas de ronda como ella se fue.
¿Con quién estás? Dile que la quiero, dile que me muero de tanto esperar. Que vuelva ya, que las rondas no son buenas, que hacen daño. Dan penas que se acaba por llorar.
It's a great pleasure to welcome to WFMT and to welcome to Chicago. And we can say to join in the welcome to the United States, because the gentleman we're about to speak with is here for his really formal, his debut, because he has had a show that traveled to the States. You've probably read about him. We'll talk about that. But much more interesting to talk to somebody himself. And so it's our chance to welcome Calixto Bieito, C-A-L-I-X-T-O, B-I-E-I-T-O. He is known for his theatrical and operatic stagings all around Europe, all parts, really. We'll come to that, too. They've generated some controversy. He's coming, though, to Chicago. He's in Chicago because he's about to open when we're speaking. And when you hear this, it will have just opened. And we have to get back into pronunciation when we talk about this, too. But Camino Real, a late play, mid-late play by Tennessee Williams, that will be having one of its first and only major productions in its long and checkered history at the Goodman Theater. Robert Falls, artistic director, brought Calixto to Chicago to do this, and we're going to talk now. For somebody who one hears so much about and reads so much about, I find we lose sight of who the person is and why they're involved in the art that they're in. You are someone who obviously has a very serious commitment to the theater because you are working constantly on very interesting projects in very interesting cities and houses around the world. And I thought, let's put all that stuff aside and start with where you start. Where do you start when you have a project?
When I have the project of a...
Whether it's a theater project or an opera project.
I'm doing the same.
Yeah.
I started with a very academic work. I started thinking about the, not thinking, reading as much I can do, as much I can read about the piece, or about the period, when, why, how. And This is my first thing I'm doing. I love to do that.
You like research. You like research. Context.
Yeah, the context, because it makes me feel like studying in the school again or in the university.
Calixto Bieto's face just lit up and his eyebrows went up when you... So you're somebody that studying in school, this was a great time, or this is can be made into a great time now.
I like to read a lot and to listen to music and to discover new things. This mm-hmm. makes me...
now he's batting his eyes while he says
it's
this.
It's a gift of... Yeah, I think makes me very... And after that, I try to think what this piece is this play or this music makes... It's for us, could be for us mm-hmm. today. And this is when I decide more or less when the concept and the idea, we go in this direction. This play is talking about this for us today. This play is saying to us this message or these ideas, these thoughts, these emotions. It's when I decided... It's the second level, second level of my work, when I decide aesthetically how it has to be. And third is when I start to work with the people, with the actors or with the singers. My shows, they are full of the imagination of a lot of people, not just my imagination. And this is the secret of my work, I think. It is not a secret, but... Because it's a lot of people is sharing with me without not talking. We don't need to talk. We know each other. We know what it is about, and immediately. Because when I start a rehearsal, I try to forget everything I was reading, and just I try to be like a river, fluent, and to be completely. Not completely, it is not possible, but very open in my chest, in my emotions, and to be very open to share my best things with the people and to give them freedom, discipline, and generosity. And yeah, it works very often, because it's a big pleasure to do what I'm doing.
When you come to that third part, the first part is the study,
yeah.
The second part, sketching out the yeah. concept, the ideas. The third part, where you bring in the other people and then from there go yeah. into the casting and rehearsal process. But in that third part, do you tend to work with a regular team or do you work with different collaborators each time or something in between?
I have two teams in Europe. Two completely different teams with different people. This is normally the team I have here is my regular team. But for example, the costume designer, she's a normal costume designer in Chicago, and we understood perfectly well each other, and we will work together in Europe.
So you made the connection and.
Yes, very nice.
You feel a connection that this can continue.
Yes, and my team is like a very Rebecca Rings and Mark Rosick. They are completely different people. She's German. He's Spanish, Catalan, but we are doing a nice team together, and mm-hmm. and we try to share the pleasure of to be. Doing something you like very much, and the pleasure, the art makes you much more free, I think. Mm-hmm. Today I was in the morning in your fantastic museum.
The Art Institute?
Yeah. It's a fantastic museum. And I know many museums, as you can imagine. And makes me feel to be doing 10 minutes or 15 minutes to see the original of Hooper, or I love Sargent.
So you could see these American artists
And I was in just original... in the American part.
Okay, yeah.
Because I wanted to see just the American. And it was a pleasure. It was really a pleasure. It makes me feel much better, much more free.
I think this is important for people to understand, whether they like or dislike a particular piece of work that you create. I think it's important that they know you're not somebody coming in as some kind of dictator. I mean, I've talked to some of the actors, and they're saying the same thing you just said, that he's giving us the freedom to express, and we are working as a group, and he's not shouting or something.
No,
other people might have this idea, if he has these ideas, he must be whipping them.
No. We share, for sure, and finally I have to take the decisions, but no, it's not. This is not a problem. I was learning, I don't know why, but during my life, it is not good to put your fears, but this is in real life, to the other people. And the problem, the only problem, or the biggest problem, when you start to rehearsal an opera or a play, or you start to write something, is the fear. And you must not, it's not necessary to fight against, but it's necessary to admit this and to share and let's go, and we are together, and they can see I'm naked. I mean, in a completely metaphoric way, but I'm completely open for them, and I'm working for them and for my ideas, and I share my ideas. And it's I have very good experiences, and I think for me life it will be nothing, it will be empty without spirituality, art, and love. It will be nothing, and I need that for living.
Unfortunately, I have not seen your stagings live yet, just timing and so on, but I've seen a number of them of DVD and, and theatrical projection. One of the ones that people would have heard much about, which, as far as I can tell, actually demonstrates a certain simplicity and insight on your part, not applying anything on top of something, and that would be the abduction from the Seraglio.
Yeah.
Because if this piece is not about women being enslaved in a harem, what is it about? If this piece is not about men's views of women sexually, it's not about anything. I mean, isn't that one of the, aren't these two of the main things that, of course, he's fitting them into a musical structure?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, nobody was kidding anybody when this was presented in the 18th, early 19th century.
I will be. I was very sincere with this opera when I did it. I said the libretto, the lyrics, they are very bad because nobody remember
who wrote it.
Who wrote it?
Right? It's not Da Ponte.
It's not. No. And I said, I will do. I will try to do a new thing with this music, new thing, but near to some stories. And I thought the main story of the piece is a story of love, with somebody who has a lot of power, and somebody who has not power at all. And I translated this story to this universe, cruel universe of slavery, prostitution, and. I use text of The Last Tango in Paris because I think it's a wonderful story of love. And finally, for me, it was a story of love. And I think it is, with all the permissions, because even today I was thinking, I'm not an artist like a Sargent, for example. I love these portraits of these ladies. It seems ladies in the middle of the mist, something very special. But I was thinking when I did the show, I want to do something different, like Picasso did with Las Meninas. Las Meninas of Picasso's. You have Velázquez and you have Picasso.
Right.
And they are completely different. And he was doing something completely different about the piece of Velázquez. Sometimes I prefer the ones of Velázquez. Sometimes I'm thinking, oh, they are very funny, the ones of Picasso. And this is the same, I did it. And it was a sentence in the abduction of Sarail, very strong when I took serious. I didn't take like just a joke when I. He was saying, "You are my slave, and I'm your boss, your owner." And I did this, in a very radical way, if you want. But for me, it was an story of love, with a lot of violence, extremely violence. And but deeply story of love, where at the end the pimp is killing himself. For love.
If we had seen that initially, we might just say, oh, this is a story. This is, you mentioned Bertolucci, Last Tango. We could mention all kinds of films, plays that we accept immediately as classic works. But somehow people have this idea that we have to put some kind of wrapping paper around, even around stories. Another great example from your oeuvre is Balo in Mascara, the masked ball of Verdi.
Mm-hmm.
If you read any basic article, any review, say, oh, this is about the corruption of a court, this is about a decadent society, they had to transfer the plot to Boston because of censorship, it was so sensitive, blah, blah, blah. And yet you say, okay, let's make a show about these things that Verdi is composing about, and people say, oh my gosh, you have committed sacrilege.
Yes, because Masked Ball is about this. It's about the double morality of the European society and America as well. When I'm talking USA and Europe, because we are in the same. It's not the same. It will be not the same in Africa. It will be completely different. But what this is about is about what is behind the mask, and behind the mask of the politicians, of a king. Well, Verdi was writing a piece about a king who was hiding, who he was homosexual. Verdi knew all these things.
Right.
But this is obvious. I was in the plane, I was watching a movie called Anonymous, and it was saying what Shakespeare was, he was investigated about what Shakespeare was doing, the theory of the film. I don't know if it's true or not, I don't care.
That there was another writer.
Another writer, but the writer was investigating, was describing the society. But
right.
this is what you do when you try. Sometimes you do bad, and sometimes, because you do bad, you maybe you are not inspired, or you have not. But now we are, if this is like this, we are talking about different things. We are talking about good shows or bad shows.
Right.
I think we have, this is simple. It's like we go to a contemporary museum of art of today in Basel. You go to Art Basel and you say, sorry, I don't like these pieces, these modern pieces. But it's not because it's modern. It's just I don't like it.
Right, right. But that's okay.
That's okay. It's
right.
Completely okay. I mean, that's all.
Right.
And with the, it's the same. I can go to see a Velázquez and I love it, and it's the same in opera and in theater.
Yeah.
You can do an opera very classic in a very classic style. It's never like the original. This is the biggest lie. Is using everybody. No, because I'm doing original. No, you are doing in old costumes. Maybe even the costumes, they are not of the period, but you are doing old costumes and the audience thinks it's original, but this is not original.
Right, right.
Because if it's original, you need the sheet of the horses at the door of the theater, at the gate.
Right.
And you need a lot of things to make original. When Karajan was playing Mozart, was not playing original,
no.
Was playing like symphonies.
Yeah, right.
Like huge, enormous symphonies.
Right, with some decor.
Yes, but with enormous symphony and
right.
The music.
Right, right.
It was not written like this. It
right.
Was written much more smaller.
Huge orchestra. Yes,
yes he
right.
Was using huge orchestra like Wagner.
Right.
I mean, everybody is doing an interpretation. The whole art is an interpretation.
You know, the great conductor who now lives or has his orchestra here in Chicago, who can be critical, rightly or wrongly, of some of these theatrical things, Riccardo Muti.
Yeah.
But if you ask him about music, then he says exactly what you just said. He gets almost angry and he says, these people tell me they are playing original music, original instruments. Fine. Where's the original singer?
Yeah,
right.
Because the way of singing was completely different.
Right,
the technique was completely different. The atmosphere of the house,
yeah.
The people—it's all an interpretation. You have a paper with some signs. This is in opera, and you have to decide.
Right,
the tempo means say forte, but how is the forte for me? Is forte? How is the mezzo forte for me?
Mm-hmm.
The mezzo forte is like this or like this.
Yeah.
It's all interpretation.
Yeah.
It's all
yeah.
Interpretation.
I like very much you say an interpretation.
Yeah.
Because you're not saying the whole world should only see Bieto productions.
No, for sure not. And that's all. I think, and every time I'm thinking much more, this is a present for me to do what I'm doing, and there are a lot of people doing much more important things in the world, and I need it to do my job. I need to express myself. This is something Mahler was saying, and I need to do it. That's why I'm working so much at the moment.
Estrellita del alto.
We're speaking with Calixto Bieto. Calixto Bieto, the international stage director of opera and theater, makes his United States theatrical original debut with a new production and a new version of Camino Real, the play by Tennessee Williams, where he stepped away from his more naturalistic storytelling style and created, well, we'll talk now with Maestro Bieto about that. The show is up at the Goodman Theater through mid-April. We'll give you details later, or they're always at our website. You're listening to Critical Thinking on WFMT 98.7 FM. I'm your host and producer for this series, Andrew Patner. Tell us how your collaboration with Bob Falls and coming to Chicago to the Goodman came about, and how you decided to proceed with the Tennessee Williams.
It was very mature because we started to talk about this about around 5 years ago, and we started to talk about different titles, and finally Bob said to me, "Do you know a play called Camino Real?" I said, "Yes, I know. It's because it's not known in Europe. Nobody right. knows, really. I never saw right. the
And it was never play. Made into a film like most of his other plays.
No, no, it's not known. And I thought, it is a wonderful idea. The first thing came to my mind was I was thinking in Lorca. In El Surreal Lorca, when Lorca was not realistic. And I was thinking, this is perfect, this is a gift, I said to Bob. It is a very difficult thing and needs an adaptation, because Tennessee was so strong but so fragile at the same time, who was writing a lot. The piece he did very long to make very realistic sometimes, to try to please the people, because they are, we want to be loved. Me as well, I mean,
right.
And even if it sounds stupid, we want to be loved. And he
That's
was
so
trying.
Essential to Tennessee Williams' life and yeah. to his work.
Yes,
isn't it?
And he wanted to do this with Camino Real, but I thought we have to do a version. And we asked to the state Williams, Tennessee Williams, and they said it's okay, you can use. And I built like a poem, like one. It was his original idea. This is not a drama, it's poetry. And like a poem, it means you have not a plot, you have ideas, you have images.
I wonder if Lorca had been better known in the States at the time the play was produced or even created, because Kazan went in a very naturalistic, and then he said, "Oh my gosh, I made a big mistake." But I wonder if Lorca had been more known. Life is a Dream, Calderon, Lorca, yeah. that maybe the Williams could have been more understood and accepted and presented better in the 1950s. Do you think or not? Because it is so much related to Lorca, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. Yes, you are right with this. But imagine, even in the title of the piece, there is the key. One of the actors was Barbara, was showing to me.
Barbara Robertson.
She said, "We are in the Camino Real, but the thing is Camino Real. It is completely different meaning." Camino Real is a road.
The royal way, the king's road.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And it's a road in Mexico, very often a road in Mexico.
Right.
Where Williams was with bike, with his one of his boyfriends
yeah.
when he was very young.
Yeah.
In the freedom and in the stars.
Right.
Watching the stars. And Camino Real means... what is my thoughts about life? And this is what Tennessee Williams was. That's why he's using a quote of Dante at the beginning of Purgatory of Dante.
And that quote is?
The quote I don't remember exactly.
But the paraphrase.
But
yeah.
it is something about the life, the meaning of life.
Right.
And this is very related, the play, with his memoirs, I think.
Right.
And this is fantastic, to have this material is fantastic.
Because with Williams, we have his memoirs, we have his letters,
we have his letters
just about this production with Kazan.
Yeah, I will.
I'm sure Bob has told you about Hope Abelson from Chicago, who worked with them.
Yeah, he
was
a lot in Chicago. Yes, I know this.
Yeah. And he was here often.
He was in Chicago a lot, and he did the opening of the Glass Menagerie in Chicago.
Right, right.
Yeah, I know all these things because I was five times in Chicago already. It's
so these things matter to you.
Oh, it is for sure. It is a fantastic. You cannot imagine how fantastic this play. But my feeling now you want to know real, sincere.
Sure.
I could go much more further.
Yeah.
Much more, not deep, but much more. I could do evening of six hours evening of Tennessee. This is what he deserved, I think.
But this comes in a way, of course you loved him before, but this comes from this investigation and this work on this two-hour play.
Yes.
We should say
it's 1 hour,
is 2 hours without a break, right?
1 hour, 46 minutes.
Okay, 1 hour, 45. But by going into this distillation...
We make a distillation,
And you have been given an amazing cast. I mean, I've grown up in Chicago, so I've seen everyone in this cast probably from the beginning, going back to André de Shields, who in the 60s and 70s was making his name here with Warp and these crazy hippie shows and so on. But I mean, person for person, I mean, I know you know this from working with them, but I just see the names and the pictures and say, well, I have to see them. I don't care if they are in a soap opera, you know. I mean, that's what a cast. But I'm guessing this is your experience with them.
My experience is, we did a very, very slow, this cast, deciding I want a soloist for each character, I was saying, and it's just extraordinary. And I was working, as you know, in mostly of the biggest theaters in Europe. I was doing performances in original languages in mostly the biggest theaters in Europe. But this cast is extraordinary.
How would you characterize them? What makes them different?
They are very fast, but this is it's a good quality. But it's not. With the emotions, the way they are jumping between the emotions, they are like children. They can play and they can cry and laugh in 30 seconds. They are extremely open and extremely perfectionist. It's a very, 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 very powerful. Very powerful company. They are different. They are not British actors or they are not French actors. It is very different.
Interesting.
It is very different. This is on a style. On a style of to say the text, how they speak the text, the natural way. They are very natural. They speak the text without pushing. They are not pushing. They are singing, like the, and this is maybe because it's Tennessee Williams. I don't know, but these actors, each of them, it's a world because this is extremely, extremely strong, extremely strong.
This is what we are told locally. This is what we think about ourselves here. But it's interesting to hear somebody who has witnessed and worked with people
everywhere.
I mean,
it's very easy to know in my eyes. Yeah. This is sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes it's a very bad thing. But very bad thing. My eyes is there like very open, and they know the actors. And they knew, and when I said to them, "You are." I said like this, sorry, I will say I'm sorry for the radio. I said you are f***ing brilliant. It is an extraordinary cast. You cannot, I cannot imagine better, I have to say.
That's great to hear. It just makes me more excited to see.
Yeah, but you have to be very proud because they have another style of acting.
Yeah.
It is different than in Europe. It's different than German theaters, than German actors. It's different than Danish, different than Norwegian. You have your style.
Yeah.
And this is fantastic. And this style is very organic, very, like I said, very natural. They jump between the emotions without shame. And they make them very strong and very fragile at the same time. And the wave they use in the text, it is very, very good. We say the way they are they stop in the sentences, the way they are pop, plop, plop, pop, pop. This is completely. I understood a lot of about American theater. I understood David Mamet because I never understood before in Spain. Or I understood the plays, but I never did David Mamet because the language, it was very.
You're saying that since you've been working here with this group, you're now understanding some of the other American theater that
you've
known.
Yeah, for sure. Writers like O'Neill and so on.
Yeah, it's making more sense to you as
theater.
Yeah,
for sure. And yes.
And of course, Mamet was coming from Chicago.
And Tennessee was writing for these kind of actors.
Yeah, definitely he was. Yeah.
He was writing for Marilyn.
Right. Yeah.
These kind of actors.
Right. Right.
Without the shame. And these actors, they are not pretending. They are just doing it.
You mean Marilyn Dodds-Frank, who's in your show, or you mean Marilyn Monroe?
No, Marilyn Monroe.
Okay.
I love
two great Marilyns.
No, Marilyn. Yes, the one in my show. But Marilyn Monroe, I love it, Marilyn Monroe. But it is the style. You have a strong personality in your theater in America.
Definitely, definitely. Particularly, I think, in emanating from Chicago, spread out now to many places. You've put music in, which makes sense. And is it from all kinds of sources, or how did you decide?
We decide two, three different levels. One very a landscape sound with Richard, who is he's a fantastic composer, very good for theater, and I imagine for movies and for. And for
this
for
is an Richard Woodbury? Or?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we decide to use the songs Tennessee Williams decide because they are fantastic.
It's the sounds he calls for in his
stage
directions.
Yes, in the stage directions. He's talking about Noche de Ronda, Estrellita, Solamente una vez. This is, people think they are Spanish songs, but they are not Spanish songs. They are songs in Spanish created in New York.
Right, right. They're of this time.
And this is American.
Flashing neon light and
it's
American
street. American songs in Spanish.
Yeah.
And we are using a surprise because it was with André the Shields, it was not possible not make a surprise. But this is the two levels. It means popular music and experimental music.
Right. We're actually having this conversation in the sound studios at the Goodman, where these wonderful sound designer composers, I call them sound artists.
Yeah, it's a
really
sound
are.
Artist, yeah, yeah.
Really
it's a composer.
Are.
I was asking for a composer.
Yeah.
And he was composing music for some of the poems of Tennessee
Because
Williams.
You're also using Tennessee's poems.
Yes, four poems mm-hmm. And text from the memoirs. Because finally, the theme of the whole is the meaning of living for sure, and this is everybody has a different opinion, a different option or no option or not. I don't know, but you can discuss forever, or you cannot say anything. Maybe it's better. And about the freedom, it's about the freedom of an artist who was asking desperately for freedom to be understood in his country.
There's so much more we could talk about, and there's so much that's so interesting about you and also about the way You've made it very clear to us that you observe things at home in your travels. You take time to go to the museum. You take time to stop and think, how would this have been done in France? How would this have been done? It's not ranking things. No. It's comparison. And it's also showing you the way your ears and your eyes are open. So I think maybe we'll just wrap it up because we want people to see and experience the show and have their own reactions, their own responses to it. But you can see here what Calixto Bieto is getting at, which is what is the essence of Williams. And Williams was getting at what is the essence of life. And it was the freedom to be oneself. Obviously, this is running like a thick red cord through
this is
everything. And you know, the line that always comes back to me, which was very much loved by a friend of mine who was a good friend of the brother of Tennessee Williams, who lived in Illinois, Dakin Williams. He mm-hmm. was a real character. He constantly was running for political office. He knew he had no chance to win. He ran for governor, senator, Congress, and so on. He was the sunny side of his yeah. brother, but also a total dreamer in that way, completely the same. But this other friend, Henry Hansen, he loved this line from Streetcar where Blanche says, "Deliberate cruelty is the one unforgivable sin and the one that I have never, ever been guilty of." And to me, that's the flip side. One is the freedom, but two is a reminder you can't use that freedom to harm another, at least not intentionally. And that's what I get also from you is, yes, there's harsh things depicted on stage in my productions, but that's because that's what the life we're in, not because I'm endorsing this harshness. You seem very opposed to any kind of cruelty.
Yeah. You describe yes, I open my heart. You describe it very well. Just I want to say, I will remember this this experience of this show for it has a special place in my life.
Well, thank you for bringing the show to us. We're looking forward to it. The show is Camino Real. It's running through mid-April in the main stage, the Albert of the Goodman Theater. It was a dream of Robert Falls, the artistic director here, and it's being realized by Calixto Bieto, CalixtoBieto, and his team at the Goodman. Thank you so much for talking with us, Calixto. It's really been an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Siempre que te pregunto que cuando, como y dónde, tú siempre me respondes, quizás, quizás, quizás. Y así pasan los días y yo desesperado y tú, tú contestando, quizás, quizás, quizás. Estás perdiendo el tiempo pensando, pensando por lo que más tú quieras, hasta cuándo, hasta cuándo. Y así pasan los días desesperado y tú, tú contestando, quizás, quizás, quizás. Así pasan los días y yo desesperado y tú, tú contestando, quizás, quizás, quizás. Estás perdiendo el tiempo pensando, pensando por
por lo que más tú quieras, hasta cuando, y así pasan los días, y yo desesperado, y tú contestando, quizás, 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 quizás.
Music that we heard tonight came from that popular national translation of Mexican and Cuban bolero popular songs, slow Latin dance songs that were then made popular in the United States and then back again in their home countries as cover versions piled up on cover versions. These are used to such great effect in the staging, which I have since seen, of Calixto Bieto's version of Tennessee Williams's Camino Real. First, we heard Noche de Ronda, Night Rounds, Nat King Cole's version of the Agustin Lara Mexican song. Then Connie Francis with another Agustin Lara, Solamente Una Vez, Only One Time. Deanna Durbin, now 90-some, still about. Estrellita, Manuel Ponce's most famous composition, written all the way back in 1912 and yet somehow recaptured in a way that totally connected with the 40s and 50s. My Little Star. And last we heard Quizás, 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 Perhaps, 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 recorded under that name by Doris Day, among others. Osvaldo Fares, our one Cuban composer tonight, in the Nat King Cole version. We'd like to thank Calixto Bieto, of course, for his tremendous generosity and kindness. We'd like to thank Amanda Ray Cupido, the newest addition to the public relations staff at the Goodman Theater in downtown Chicago, for arranging this interview and additional assistance for this program. Camino Real runs through April 8 at the Goodman Theater. It is definitely not for children, maybe not even for young people, maybe not even for you. Know ahead of time there is graphic violence and mimicking of sexual acts. Many of us think they work within the show. Some critics and audience members have thought that they do not. So if those are things that might trouble you too much, then of course you need not go. We'd like to thank our funders, Alphawood Foundation, Dick and Susie Kiphart, and other friends of this program. We'd like to thank Matt DeStefano, who recorded the interview with us in the basement of the Goodman Theater, and who, of course, then prepared the program for broadcast and made it sound great. Let us know what you thought about this or any of our other programs. Drop us a line, Rentap, Patner spelled backwards, R-E-N-T-A-P @AOL.com. Or hit the Chime In button at WFMT.com and chime in. I'm Andrew Patner. We'll see you next week.
Luna que se quiebra sobre la tiniebla de mi soledad. Adon de vas, dime si esta noche tú te vas de ronda como ya se fue. ¿Con quién estás? Dile que la quiero, dile que me muero de tanto esperar. Que vuelva ya, que las rondas no son buenas, que hacen daño
dan penas que se acaba por llorar.
Luna que se quiebra sobre la tiniebla de mi soledad.
Adón de vas.
Dime si esta noche tú te vas de ronda como ella se fue.
¿Con quién estás?
Dile que la quiero, dile que me muero de tanto esperar. Que vuelva ya. Las rondas no son buenas, que hacen daño, que dan penas, que se acaba por...